You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
More flight cancellations are on the way. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishour, in for David Brancaccio. The fallout continues from the Alaska Airlines flight last week, where a piece of the fuselage blew off the plane. Alaska Airlines is canceling all flights on 737 MAX 9 planes through Saturday as it waits for the green light from regulators to start flying those planes again. United Airlines, which also has a fleet of 737 MAX 9s, said it canceled 167 flights yesterday and expected significant cancellations today. Now, an incident like that is obviously terrifying for passengers, but the first people to figure out how to respond to it were the flight attendants. That is a job that has gotten increasingly difficult and where the pandemic's long arms are still felt. Sarah Nelson is International President of the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, which is part of the AFL-CIO. She spoke with my Marketplace colleague, Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
So first of all, are you hearing from members who are worried about their own safety after that Alaska Airlines incident when, of course, that 737 MAX 9 door plug panel blew off?
Yes, flight attendants are very concerned. They're first and foremost focused on the event at hand, that everyone is safe. In this case, very, very proud of the way that that crew represented all of us. But yes, then there is follow-on concern and a lot of relief that the FAA acted very decisively and quickly to get those planes on the ground.
I mean, flight attendants really are first responders, right? Tell me about their role in an emergency.
Flight attendants are first responders. We are essential. The airlines also know that when there's a strange sound on the plane, people jerk their heads and look to flight attendants. The crews have to be very confident about the leadership that they're providing in that cabin for air travelers to have confidence in aviation.
Yeah, I mean, they have such a leadership role, which starts, as you say, you know, before the plane even takes off with those safety demonstrations, which, Sarah, I have to admit, I don't always pay the most attention to that, but I will now. And what is the most important thing we should watch for? I mean, I always look for the nearest exit.
If you are a passenger, some of the things that you can do in addition to giving that 2.5-3 minute focus, but in addition to that, you can take a look around and see where your nearest exit is. Count the number of seat rows to get to that. Be very aware that if you need to move quickly, you've got to leave everything behind. So you've got to have everything on your body. And that leads to understanding that the most likely that there's going to be an incident is either on takeoff or landing. And having your shoes on so that you can react quickly is a really important thing to do. Having good shoes that can lace up is even better.
I hadn't thought about that. Sarah, the last time you were on Marketplace, you talked about the staffing shortages at various airlines and how that's affecting flight attendants. So where do things stand on that now? I mean, has that gotten any better?
The staffing for flight attendants, especially domestically, is at FAA minimums. These were minimums that were set in the 1950s, specifically for safely evacuating passengers from planes. And those minimum standards will continue to apply, but they apply to the evacuation standards when those aircraft are being certified for evacuation. Our role has changed so much. We are aviation's last line of defense in aviation security. We're looking for security threats. We're looking to respond when there is a decompression or an explosive decompression like this Alaska plane. We are responding to medical emergencies. And all of that is a lot more duties with a lot more passengers and fewer of us. So our jobs are harder than they've ever been, which is also why you're seeing flight attendants across the country demand that our pay be commensurate with our duties. And we haven't seen pay raises in a very long time, partially because of COVID and partially because none of the airlines want to go first because they're going to have to pay significantly more to catch up for all the lost pay raises that we've had in the last few years and the years of austerity following 9/11.
And Sarah, thinking about all this, maybe people could be a little nicer to their flight attendants on their next flight.
I appreciate that so much, Nancy. Yep, that would be great.
Sarah Nelson is president of the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
And that was Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer there.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
OpenAI, the company behind ChatGPT, is reportedly in talks to license content from some of the biggest names in media, CNN, Fox, Time. This was first reported by Bloomberg. OpenAI has also been in discussions with dozens of publishers. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more on what is brewing.
The reported effort to reach content licensing deals with CNN, Fox, and Time would be in line with similar initiatives OpenAI has recently pursued. For example, it has already struck a deal with the Associated Press to license its archive going back to 1985. It also has a deal with the parent company of Politico and Business Insider. While financial terms of those deals were not disclosed, The Information, a tech news site, has reported that OpenAI is now offering publishers somewhere between $1 and $5 million a year to license their content. It will use that content to train its AI tools and to display information generated by news organizations. OpenAI has also acknowledged being in talks with the New York Times, that is until late December, when the Times became the first major U.S. media organization to sue the AI firm and its partner Microsoft for copyright infringement. The Times suggested the companies were liable for billions of dollars in damages. OpenAI denied wrongdoing. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.